Grace and peace to you from our
Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the most exciting parts of the movie about the Polar Express is when the train sort of goes off the tracks. Now, I have to admit, it's not much of a book, and I've never read the book, so I don't know, and I don't recall that the movie really says a whole lot about it. But I suspect what is happening is that the train is supposed to go over the bridge is over the water's too high, and seeing how it is the polar Arctic region, water's above the tracks, freezes over, train hits the tracks, and of course, the ice is deep enough that it can support this massive train. And so the train goes off the tracks and just goes swirling around on this bed or this lake of ice that is apparently like 100 miles long because it takes forever to come about it. The key for the entire scene is that you got to get the car, you get the truck, and the train back on the tracks all at the right time when it comes up out of the bridge and back up into the mountains. And they do it, right? Daunting. It is daunting, but it's not impossible. Not with the Polar Express, right? And is that not the point? Everything is possible with God. It is. Our challenge is the same. It's daunting, yes, I guarantee you, it is daunting. But it's certainly not impossible. When life freezes over your tracks, it makes it seem like it's impossible to get back on track. The key is to just do it. Get back on track and get back on track as soon as possible. For our lives need guidance. They need it. If we are to bear fruit, we need the guidance of being attached unto the vine as the vine wills us. Acts chapter 8, verse 30. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asks. How can I, says the Ethiopian, unless someone explains it to me? It's quite understandable that the Ethiopian will not understand what he is reading because no single individual can claim to know Scripture's meaning through his own abilities. The Spirit must guide us. The Spirit of God guides us in the reading of the text and the understanding of the words of God. Peter writes this in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest of care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when they predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit that is from heaven, even angels long to see these things. In other words, even the prophets themselves did not always understand what it was that they were writing in the time that they were writing them. It was revealed to us later by a gift and the power of the Holy Spirit. The disciples themselves did not understand everything that Jesus had to say until Jesus opened their mind to understand it. Luke chapter 24, verse 45, and he said this to them, "This is what I told you when I was still with you, that everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds to the scriptures that they would understand. The natural mind of men cannot understand the things of God, and they cannot understand them unaided. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes, "And the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them." This is part of the concept that Luther comes up with, the bondage of the will. We are bound unto our own understandings and our own faculties until we have been freed in Christ and then empowered by the Holy Spirit. Then we become free. This is also why Lutherans make such a big deal about how you cannot choose Christ. You cannot choose Jesus. Because in order to choose Jesus, you must already have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, which means you didn't choose Jesus. Jesus already chose you and has gifted you with the Spirit that calls out, Father, Abba. You didn't choose him, he chose you. And then you try to make it your work. It's not your work. Praise be to God. You've been called from the foundation of the world to be a child of God. Now, it sounds like a chicken and the egg thing. Regardless of which side you're on, it still makes good soup. The Ethiopian desires to know the things of God, but they're out of his grasp. He's searching unaided. He's even managed to buy a scroll of Isaiah. By the way, an extraordinarily expensive thing in the day. This guy's got money. He wants to know, but he still needs help. So the Spirit of God sends Philip. He didn't just send him enlightenment on his own. God continues and has always worked through means. So God doesn't just send him the Bible, the Word of God, and allow him to sort of work about it and mill about as best he can. He sends him an additional help in Philip. Acts chapter 8, verse 33. He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer was silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice, and now no one can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch asks Philip, please tell me, is the prophet speaking about himself or somebody else? And then Philip began, from this very moment of Scripture, from this very line, to explain and unfold unto him this massive story of the salvation of God that he has written in their time. The good news of Jesus. Isaiah and the other prophets testified to Jesus coming and they point him out. Even the clearest truths of Christ in Scripture become evident by the Spirit's guidance. I doubt if any of us would have known that Isaiah chapter 53 is talking about Jesus, suffering servant upon the cross, had we not been told. Which is why every Good Friday that you participated in a Lutheran church since you were about this big has told you about this lesson. Isaiah 53 is about who? Jesus. It was such a smashing success that I'm told in the early days of Christendom, Jews quit reading this verse altogether. They just wouldn't read it anymore. They're like, we cannot. Spirit continues to guide the church's proclamation of Jesus Christ today. He is the suffering servant of Isaiah's prophecy, who though deprived of justice was vindicated by God. Isaiah's words declared to the centuries, the Old Testament readers, this same assurance that I declare unto you that Christ willingly laid down his life for you, that you might receive redemption in the name of the Son of God. Jesus' death means a new life for countless descendants throughout all of the earth. And the Holy Spirit continues to send missionaries, continues to send evangelists to bring light into darkened worlds, and God does not desire the death of the wicked, only the death of sin. And God desires the death of sin because he loves you, and he sent his Holy Spirit in his Son into our hearts. And God is determined to keep you firm in that one true faith. Because you are a child of God. Because he has equipped you fully for your calling as a witness unto the glories that God has made manifest unto you and made so very clear to you through a gift of the Holy Spirit. Demographics are not always a reliable witness for or guidance for witnessing opportunities. It's interesting here that Philip was not sent to some teeming metropolis. He was sent to a desolate area, verse 26 says. Go south on the road, the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. God must send some to seek lone sheep, as well as seeking those to seek multitudes. Philip was led away from the safety of his own people to witness to this foreigner who was a eunuch, by the way, who's somebody who is vastly different than himself. And this may happen to you as well. You may find yourself in uncomfortable situations. The Spirit may direct you away from those of whom you feel the most comfortable with. The Spirit may direct you to people who seem to be outside of the grace of God. The Spirit may direct you to people who are vastly different than you. The Spirit may direct you to some skateboard-wheeling hair disaster, or some tattooed strongman of antisocial tendencies, or an ex-con, or an illegal alien. But the Spirit of God desires to be found even today. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is not your work. This is the work of God and the Spirit that dwells within you. This workplace offers unique opportunities to share the love of God. Prayer may be regulated in public schools, but the Spirit can still provide opportunities to witness to schoolmates and teachers and even students. The Ethiopian may have thought that it was pure coincidence that Philip just happened to be running down this desert road, but God wanted him there. God wanted Philip to tell the truth. He wanted him to know the truth about Jesus and God who brought the two together. And it's that same Spirit that's at work in your life, guiding you as you go about your natural and ordinary days, to give you the opportunity to use you as a chosen instrument. As he has guided you so far, let him continue to guide you so that you grow in faith and use the opportunities to be the people of God's calling, the people of his hand. In Jesus' name, amen.